I'm confessing sin right here. Like, I thought the series was going to be a dud. Like, I honestly, I was like, we talk about the resurrection all the time. Like, who wants to, like, I don't know why I felt that way. I just did. And like, I felt, I think God, this series is a rebuke to me. And like, God's like, what is wrong with you, Drew? And like, it has been so moving in my life. Mm-hmm. Like, it has just been like, you idiot, wake up to the glory and the majesty of what this means for your life and everybody else's life.
Our goal on this podcast is to know Jesus better and by the power of his spirit, do better. So together we can be a little better.
All right. Apparently we have to do a podcast. Welcome to A Little Better. Now we do have a lot of fun here. And at some point the cameras start rolling and you join us, which we are thrilled about. So thanks for being here for week number, always got to do the math, 5 mm-hmm. out of 6. And I almost feel like this feels in some ways like the last message because next week is Easter, but actually this thing is ramping up. We've had like, we're going to have 6 Easters when this thing is done. 6
yeah,
weeks of focusing on the resurrection. Drew, welcome back. You brought the message. Why don't you bring us up to speed, your message in 60.
Yeah, we're continuing to look at the eyewitness accounts. This one was one named, one not named, right? People who were eyewitness accounts on the road to Emmaus, walking away, kind of losing hope, and yet we see Jesus walking with them, patient with them, leading them through the scriptures, ultimately to the moment where he breaks bread with them and it just clicks and they rush back to Jerusalem and to the disciples and they're like, this is true. Wow. Holy smokes. And so it's just this beautiful story of how God, you know, goes after people that we would forget or overlook, how he values us, how he loves us, and ultimately how he doesn't give up on us even when we give up on him.
Mm-hmm. Incredible. Well, listen, Matt Soans, our ministry's lead. Do I get that right?
You got it.
Got it. Right ministry's on. Lead. Matt Soans, glad to have you back.
Thanks, Brad.
Matt Soans is part of the crowd every week during pre-preach where you just get a chance to reflect and share input. So I'm looking forward to, sometimes I ask Drew what he left on the table, but how about I ask instead you, where did your mind go? Were there other directions that got raised for you or something you wished was talked about just a little bit more in this message?
Oh, man. I mean, I thought Drew did such a fantastic job and your passion for the gospel is so strong. It comes out and it just brings me to life in the room, just listening to your passion for the resurrection. And I loved helping us turn our attention to the cross. We've been focusing on the resurrection for 5 weeks now, and to be able to turn our attention to the cross. The resurrection doesn't happen without the cross first. And so the death of Jesus, who paid the penalty for our sins, who set us free from sin so we can be citizens of his kingdom, and no longer bound in slavery to sin is incredible. And as we look to Good Friday this week, really grateful for that.
Yeah, so many. It is interesting if you say we're going to, talk about the resurrection every week, just how unique each message is, but also just how much excitement, builds for Easter. I mean, there's so many questions to talk about this, but one thing is these disciples wrestle with, there's a hiddenness to Jesus, an unrecognition of Jesus. And why do you think God operates that way? Like in the shadows, so mysteriously, hard to find. What do you learn in there?
And why didn't Jesus just go to the Sanhedrin and say, hey, here I am?
That's a great question. That's what I would have done, right? It feels more strategic, right? Mm-hmm. Like get the people who are, have the biggest influence, right? Mm-hmm. If you show up to them, maybe that would work better, right? At least my finite mind thinks that way. I think there's something, I think one thing that I didn't really talk about is how them not being able to see Jesus is a little bit of like our journey, right? In the sense of we often like our journey to faith. Why didn't Jesus just on the road be like, guys, it's me, start believing, right? Let's move this on. But I think he was taking them to a deeper faith, a faith that had convictions, not just like see and believe, right? He built a foundation before he revealed himself, right? Mm-hmm. Through the scriptures. And I think that we can relate to that a lot because we, mm-hmm. you know, we don't get to see Jesus, mm-hmm. but we don't have to. And they didn't actually see Jesus. Like something happened and they knew it was him before they saw him, right? Because the scripture says he broke the bread and their eyes were opened, mm-hmm. and then they saw Jesus. Mm-hmm. I just think there's like, I think God does everything intentionally. And I think this story is the story that, man, I can relate to a lot because I don't want to just see Jesus and have that belief built on me seeing. I want to have a foundation that I don't have to see that is so strong, it's like I see.
Mm. Yeah, I think... It's an interesting dance, you know, between for Jesus' sure. revelation and our seeing. I think something that I'm reminded of often in this is the stubbornness of our unbelief, just the persistence of our blindness. Because we hear stories like the parable of Lazarus, you know, dying, and he's in the bosom of Abraham, and he sees the rich man, and the rich man is begging Jesus, hey, just send someone back, you know, from the dead to warn my brothers. And Jesus says, you know, if they don't believe the scriptures, they're not going to believe someone stepping out from the dead. And it just strikes us as odd. Like, oh, come on. If I saw it in front of me, of course I would believe. But I do think we see often is God is right in front of us. Mm. And they don't believe. And we say, ah, what idiots. But how often is God right in front of us? You know, and we don't see. I think our capacity for blindness, our capacity for deception, it's a lot deeper than we realize.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the enemy is really good at deceiving us. Like we're getting ready to, in I would say a couple months, do a series on the devil and his schemes and his tactics. And I just think he's really good at, even when we do see, telling us, no, what you saw wasn't real. You know, like convincing us like, oh, that was like an odd thing. He's just really good at blinding us to what the truth is. And he's powerful and he's good at lying. And, you know, he's a master at it.
Mm-hmm. And sin is deceptive. And I think one of the amazing things is we're blinded by our own sin. Mm. And we're so blinded that we're blind to our blindness.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That we don't even know that we don't see clearly, mm-hmm. Because of the deceitfulness of sin and our own hearts. Mm-hmm. I was actually, if I can find it quickly, I was reading Hebrews earlier, just yesterday. So Hebrews 3:12 says, "See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." So he's talking to brothers and sisters. These are believers. And this idea that there can be a progression, we let a little bit of sin, of evil into our lives, and it turns to unbelief, and it turns to turning away. So we see these guys walking away, or travelers, walking away from Jerusalem. Jesus said, "Stay here," right? And they're walking away. And but the antidote, verse 13, "But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how do we avoid hardness of heart as Christians? We've got to encourage each other. We need each other. I need you every day to remind me of the gospel. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so easy to let the little bits of evil into my heart, and that become, in the long run, hardness that I've turned away from Jesus. Mm.
But I know you shared that with me before, and it was a revelation, you know, to me, just because I had been thinking very much individualistically, right? It's just like, hey, how about here's my journey, my search for truth. What do I need to do? But there in Hebrews, as you were pointing out, this team effort that's necessary. Like I'm, you know, vulnerable, you know, to discouragement, to self-deception, to wandering away in sin. What's the solution? Isn't to hunker down and do better. It's encourage each other. You know, the solution is going to be there for each other.
I think you see this tangibly in parenting, right? So like as a parent, I tell my kids the same things over and over again. And someone from the outside comes in and says the same thing that I've been saying for months now. And our kids are like, wow, you're right. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Right?
Or they give them credit for it, right? Like, you never said it.
I think that's a beautiful picture of Hebrews, though. Like, sometimes you just need somebody else to come in and say what you can't see, right?
Yeah.
And it's not just one voice. It's a multitude of voice. That's right. Like, we're a family. Iron sharpens iron. Yeah. So does a brother with a brother. Yeah. And I think that's a great verse, right?
Right.
I think we fail to realize how deceitful sin is.
Right.
I mean, that's why we can like be trying to pick a speck out of somebody's eye when you got a, you know, plank sticking out here, you know. It's because we're deceived by our own sin.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. And it's right in the story, too. Those travelers run to tell the other disciples. And I loved your passion, Drew, when you were telling that story about them so excited about sharing the truth. And I don't know, when people tune into this podcast, I think sometimes they're looking for a little behind the scenes stuff. So I hope this is okay. So Drew preaches four messages in this series, and dude, I mean, you're bringing it. I mean, every week it's just like fire. And if you came here for like 8:30, 9:45, 11 o'clock, you just see it build. Okay. By the time we're 11, it's rolling out. So Drew goes away for 2 weeks, and, you know, Nate and Jason step in to preach. And we get this email from Drew that says, "Keep up the intensity." And I'm like, okay. And last week, I thought Jason did a great job of keeping up the intensity. It was really incredible. But Drew, week five, you ramped it up too, but just telling that story. But that excitement, it's a Hebrews 3 application. These disciples encourage each other.
Doesn't, like, at some level, one, how do you preach about the resurrection and not be excited? Like, I mean, come on. But also, like, I want people, when I preach something, not to wonder, does he believe it?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You know, I want them to feel it,
right.
See it,
yeah,
taste
do.
It, right?
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, I think that's one thing that I've learned when I read my Bible. It's easy because it's in the morning or it's in the evening, and I'm tired. And I read it and I forget to like realize this is just not words on a page. This is like somebody's life. Like these guys, it's so easy to read this story and be like, yep. And they went back to Jerusalem and they said it's true. Like, but when you feel it and you put yourself into it, it just like it takes you in.
Yeah.
Like when I'm preaching, I'm feeling it, man. Like I'm not making some fake emotion up. Like I'm into the story, and I think it just helps. And I don't want people to be like, man, that guy, he talks about it a lot, but I'm not sure he believe. Like I believe this stuff, man.
Yeah, Drew, I don't know how it is with your preaching. I know for me, there's a little journey from the head to the heart, because I'll grab a message. Hey, Drew, I want to can I have this one? I want to preach this one, and it's because of some little insight, right? It's just like, oh, I remember seeing, you know, some professor in seminary showed it to me in this different way. I want to show you guys how cool this is. So it starts out with this like intellectual insight, but then you start in the text and you're just, and it's like, dang, you know, this thing is ripping me up. This thing is about me. I felt that way. I mean, just preview, your 10 commandments will be over the summer. I'm very excited about that. Mm-hmm. A number of us are preaching that, but
honestly, at some level,
where you get in,
I prep, obviously most preachers are prepping their sermons. Let's hope so. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm practicing, like, that's something that I take seriously. I want to do my best, but at some level, I wish that people could be there for like, not even pre-preach, but like me verbalizing it. Cause there's been moments like in this series where I have had to stop because I've been just moved by the scriptures, right?
Yeah.
Like, just like, I can't keep going. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I say this a lot, but like, man, these messages are like, I told the staff this, this week.
Wednesday,
just Wednesday. Like I'm confessing sin right here. Like, I thought this series was going to be a dud. Like, I was like, we talk about the resurrection all the time. Like, who wants to, like, I don't know why I felt that way. I just did. And like, I felt, I think God, this series is a rebuke to me. And like, God's like, what is wrong with you, Drew? And like, it has been so moving in my life. Mm-hmm. Like, it has just been like, you idiot, wake up to the glory and the majesty of what this means for your life and everybody else's life. And it's just been really powerful in my life. Like, I can get emotional, like, and I have, like, during this series, I've just been like, man, wow. Like, it's been awesome. It really has been awesome. And not preaching 2 weeks, I've missed it.
Yeah.
Like, I've just missed, like, I want to be soaked in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, and in some ways, that's exactly what Jesus does for these travelers in the passage, is like, walks with them for 7 miles talking about the scripture and revealing himself to them.
Yeah. And thank you for turning that corner, because that is an interesting part of the story, is Jesus, without revealing that he's Jesus, you know, showing how the scriptures are all about Jesus. But
yeah, the word was telling them the word, like the word in flesh was preaching the word out loud. It's just kind of ironic. It is.
Yeah, it happens a couple of times, you know, a few times. I mean, they just come to mind immediately. But obviously, Jesus, he walks through the scriptures and shows how it had to play out this way with the death and the resurrection. Paul seems to allude to it too. He goes into the synagogue and he's teaching these, you know, synagogue rulers, the people there, listen, walk through the scriptures. Don't you see they're all about Jesus? Which is always a challenge, but it's if you go into the Old Testament just with that hypothesis, okay, I'm going to pick a text here, and you'll somehow see Jesus. It's about Jesus.
Yeah, you'll see him.
Again and again. You know, it blows me away.
Yep.
But that entire story of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, it's a conflict, it's a crisis, it's a, you know, pending catastrophe that only Jesus you know, can rescue.
It's almost
us from.
As if Jesus is also like screaming to us later, where, like, you know, he would ascend into heaven, that you don't need to see me, you have me right here, right? In the word, right? Like, I think so many people want to see Jesus, right? Oh, I want to see Jesus too, but like, we do see Jesus on every page of the Bible, right? And it's almost like Jesus realizing after his resurrection, he's getting ready to leave. And here he shows us a beautiful picture of, like, instead of revealing himself, he walks through the scriptures with these guys. Like, almost a foreshadowing of, like, hey, you don't need me to appear to know I'm here.
Right, right. Which is interesting, because they get to walk next to Jesus. We don't, but that part of the story we do get to experience. We do get to read the same scriptures, you know, have the Holy Spirit show us, you know, the same Jesus. So, okay. Matt's looking at me like the wheels are turning.
I know. I'm like, can you give us like a 5-minute flyover version?
I knew you were going, like, to do this.
Let's walk through the scripture. Like, what would you, obviously Jesus had a couple hours, with these guys. I don't know how long it takes to walk 7 miles.
Yeah.
We don't have that long, but what would it look like to fly over scripture and see where, how is Jesus the fulfillment of this story?
I mean, like, so you want to see Jesus in the Old Testament? Is that kind of what
you...
Okay, so I mean, let's start with Genesis, right? He is the creator of the world, right? So you see God in his Trinity here. God is speaking, Jesus is working. I think of stories like in the Old Testament, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Who is the fourth man in the fire?
Right.
It's the one who literally rescues us from the fire, right? Like, you want to talk about a picture, like, what? How is hell described? A lake of fire, fire and brimstone. And here's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, heated up, let the flame burn, right? And in there, what is he doing? Protecting them from the fire. What does Jesus do for us? He protects us. I know this is getting kind of scary, like, from the fire, right? He protects us. I mean, there's so many stories. I think every story you read, if you read it from the lens of, hey, let me see Jesus, right? You see it in Passover, right? The blood over the door, right?
Right.
What does the Spirit do? It passes over judgment. Why? Because of the blood of the lamb, a foreshadowing of the lamb that would be slain. You see it from the priest cutting a lamb, sacrificing a lamb, right? For what? The sins of Israel. Why? Because the blood of the lamb. Like, I'll start preaching if you want me to.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you just keep reading and you're like, oh, it's here. I just kind of want, I always want to know, like, okay, Jesus had, he had, let's say 2 hours. Like, okay. All he probably, maybe he could, is Jesus, cover it all, but like, did he point to, right? Yeah. Like, what did he show? Like, these are just like, you know, I'm just off the top of my head. Right. I didn't know you were going to ask that question, but like, Jesus is everywhere, right? Like, there's so many moments where it's just like, yes, the Red Sea. I mean, like,
Oh yeah. It's just, hits us in the head over and over again. I always think in terms of the promise, right? To me, that would be the title of the Bible, is The Promise. And, you know, it's just, even in Genesis 3, you know, that Satan will bruise your heel, but you will crush his head.
Yeah, the snake crusher, baby.
Is that Genesis 3:15? Yeah. I don't know. Go look it up. Go read it. But just that prefiguring there. But the promise to Abraham, in you, all the nations of the world will be blessed.
There's a great, this is actually like a great book for your kids and for your family. So I think it's called The Jesus Storybook.
Yeah.
And one thing I love about this is it's like, it kind of walks through the Bible, but it's, you can, we've read it with our kids all the way through, and almost I might even say every one from Genesis all the way to Revelation, it points back to Jesus.
Yep.
It's really good, because you'll oftentimes, it will remind you, the snake crusher has arrived. You know, it will say that multiple times, and it does a great job of like showing us Jesus in the Old Testament.
Yeah, that's incredible. I think I will go on for a long time if I talk about that, but it's just the promise can only be met in Jesus. And it's just, you read the whole Old Testament, the promise is always in peril, right? I mean, Abraham is about to get snuffed out. You know, Israel's about to get snuffed out in Egypt. He has all these things. I mean, they should have been, should not have survived. Babylonian captivity, everything, right? It's just like somehow God comes through, Jesus comes through and delivers on the promise. But so cool. Where I'd like to wrap it up, generally, as always, is just encouragement and challenge. I know a theme that's been coming through a few of these weeks is just people struggling with doubt. And Drew, you even said in this message, we're not here to tell you what to believe. We're just here to show you the evidence, you know? So what about those who, you know, are struggling or say, well, why doesn't Jesus appear to me, right? I want him in front of me. I need him. I need him here. What about those who struggle in that way? Again, what would the encouragement be?
Well, I think the accounts of the resurrection, like, give us hope in the midst of our doubts, right? Like, I don't have to always live here, right? Because there's this progression of, is Jesus alive? I think there's a beautiful progression in this story of like, hey, these guys are walking away from Jesus. Jesus draws near to them. Mm-hmm. And at some point, it wasn't immediately. Mm-hmm. It was a 7-mile journey. And I think that 7-mile journey can like seem quick, but that's a long walk, right? Go out and walk 7 miles. It's a long walk. And I think it's a picture of the journey of our faith throughout our lives. Like, we are always in progress. We are always kind of walking back to Jerusalem. And I think it gives hope for the people who are like, I'm not there yet. God's going to be patient with you. And if you do posture your life towards him, he'll meet you where you are, right? And he will eventually, we pray, open your eyes to the truth. And so, like, faith is not just a moment. It's a lifetime. And no matter where you are in faith, there's always places to go. There's always journeys to take with Jesus. And so I think it should just give you hope. Like, in the midst of your doubts, it's okay. It's okay. Draw close to Jesus. He will draw close to you.
And I love that, what you shared. In some ways, Jesus, like, playing a little bit hard to get. He's like, keeps walking when they get to their destination. They're like, no, come in. And so that idea that God does reveal himself to those who pursue him. But we have to, he wants us to pursue him. And if we just sit and wait for him to show himself to us, I mean, there is a sense where he does pursue us, like,
yeah, for sure,
where we couldn't even imagine pursuing him unless he pursued us yep. first, right? So
right.
there is some initiative of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives, but there's he also has a desire for a real relationship with him, you know, that's mutual. And so there's a sense of we have responsibility to pursue him even as he's pursuing us.
Yeah. I also think never underestimate the power of God's word.
Mm-hmm.
I think that in this storyline, there's just a thread of like the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
We have what we need, mm-hmm. right? And if you want to pursue God, get in his word. And when you read it and you lack understanding, you have questions, find somebody who's trusted,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. That will walk with you, answer. We've told so many stories of people who have picked up the Bible, started reading. I think of a guy named Gael who started reading, got a Leviticus, and he was confused. And instead of like just stopping the journey, he asked, hey, mm-hmm. will you walk with me through this journey? And so like when you have doubts, dig in God's word. And when you hit roadblocks, find family members to walk with you, help you understand. Yeah. I'm telling you, the Bible says God's word never, that's a pretty strong word, returns void.
Yeah.
So it is powerful.
Yeah. So I love what we've talked about with regard to community. I mean, it's all through these stories. You got to keep encouraging each other. The scripture, you know, even in that story of Lazarus and the rich man, it's like, dude, I could do miracles in front of you. But if you don't believe the scriptures, you know, it's all about the scriptures. And I was also, Drew, as you were preaching that, what came to mind was an old poem, The Hound of Heaven. It was by Francis Thompson. But it's basically about no matter how the poet is just talking about, how hard I ran from God, he was pursuing me. Mm-hmm. And there's a line in there, and if I quoted it in the original, you wouldn't understand because it's very kind of archaic English, but it really says, fear did not know how to run nearly as well as love knew how to chase.
Mm.
So, Drew, that was the hope I took from your message, because for those I love, I'm just trusting in the hound of heaven to catch those I love.
Amen.
Well, listen, we've had 5 great weeks. Guys, it's Easter. It's Holy Week. I don't know when you're listening to this, but Palm Sunday just happened. It's Holy Week. We got Good Friday. You know, Friday, the cross, the dark, but Easter is
coming,
and Amen. We get to celebrate it. Looking forward to it. Please come back.